Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Welcome, everybody, and Merry Christmas Eve to all of you out there. It is an honor to have you in the audience today on Political Coffee. Hey, so I ended the show yesterday with a little bit of a tease, and I want to get into that because this is probably the scariest thing we've talked about in a long time. Is the government's ability to track you and what that means. And it ain't good. But there are some good things out there, because I also want to address George's comment yesterday. You know, he thinks that the Trump tax cuts are taking from, well, basically one group of people. And he didn't exactly say who, but giving it to the rich. Just the opposite is true, folks. Because what's happening because of the Trump tax cuts, our economy is not only booming, but individual wages are skyrocketing in ways that haven't been man seen in a long time. We're going to talk about that today. Also, some local news. The homeless set up camp on the state capitol grounds. They moved voluntarily. Nobody had to be, because the cops, the OSP, and which covers the state grounds, and Salem PD came in and said, now you got to move. Nobody was arrested. That's good. They did it on purpose to get some press, and so people like us would talk about it. Well, we are. What is the homeless answer? Now, as far as I'm concerned, there are some cities. I mean, this homeless phenomenon it's everywhere. Why? Why is it everywhere? Why is it seemingly a bigger problem now than it has ever been? And what's the answer to it? I do want to talk a little bit about that, because it is part of a discussion that you could have over, well, this evening, Christmas Eve, with family, if you're having Christmas, or tomorrow on Christmas Day. Also, the NORPAC, because we have such a strong economy, it looks like NORPAC is on schedule to be bought. And I think that's a pretty cool thing. And it means that maybe even the Staten facility, along with all of them, will reopen. We're going to talk just briefly about that. But I want to tie all of this together. Because of a strong economy, somebody's willing to come in and buy NORPAC, which made a whole lot of decisions. Folks, they have a monumental amount of debt that they didn't need to have. They still have a great market and they have a great product. But they had to go into Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and that has hurt a lot of people, mostly the farmers. Because in a Chapter 11, the farmers, which are owed millions and millions and millions of dollars, are only going to get pennies on it. That's really hard. Well, on farming, because I can tell you, as a fifth-generation Oregon farmer, farmers are price takers. They are not price makers. They don't make the price. They don't set the price that you pay at the grocery store. They take whatever NORPAC and the system will give them. They're getting hurt the worst here. But at least I'm happy that NORPAC, because of a strong economy, is actually going to be bought. Lineage Logistics, this is a story in the Statesman Journal, is poised to purchase NORPAC and its Willamette Valley facilities. So Salem and Brooks are going to be purchased by Lineage Logistics for $49 million. Okay, a bankruptcy judge is going to hear that. They're Quincy, Washington facility is going to be purchased by Oregon Potato Company. Now, Oregon Potato is going to turn around and lease these facilities from Lineage immediately. There's 1,400 workers here. Now, this is a tough time. This is Christmas, right? It is. Lineage Logistics, by the way, is one of the largest cold storage companies in the world. They have 169 cold storage warehouses in the U.S., China, and the U.K. So the reality is because of a strong economy, somebody wants to come in a free market and wants to buy the assets of and keep operating at a profit to their benefit, because NORPAC depends on a lot of cold storage, as you know. Okay, somebody wants to come in and do that. That preserves jobs, that keeps product moving, that benefits your life, benefits jobs, benefits your life. We wouldn't have the strong economy if three things hadn't happened. Number one, Donald Trump's surprise election. Because of his election, the Republicans did a couple of things. Republicans controlled the House and the Senate when Trump was elected. They did two things. The very first thing they did was unwind, as they could do, a whole lot of Obama regulations that were put in place at the end of the Obama presidency, okay? Because there's a federal law that says they can do that. And the House and the Senate did it. That's the first thing they focused on. Undoing those regulations and the continued focus that Trump has on undoing unnecessary regulations that hurt you and that hurt the economy and they hurt business and stifle business. That continues to this day at a stunning pace. And while everybody's focused on all of this noise about impeachment and everything else, Russia, 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 Mueller, impeachment, nonsense, what is Trump doing? He continues to undo unnecessary regulations, and the economy is freed. And it continues to grow at rates that economists say you can't. At the end of this long economic expansion, all of these things, the economists say it can't be. Well, it is. The other thing that Trump did, the third thing, besides his election and besides unwinding all of these regulations, is Trump put in place corporate tax cuts and a lower worker class tax cuts. That's a fact. In February of 2017, when this thing got passed, okay, guess what happened? The tax tables adjusted. February of 2018. I'm sorry about that. Okay. February 2018, your tax tables, which tells your employer how much to deduct from your check, they adjusted. You immediately had more money in your pocket, more take-home pay, whether you knew it or not. You did. That's an actual fact. Now, what has that led to? A booming economy. That and the tax cuts for corporations. It is a fact that Trump's tax cuts, and George, I hope you're listening, Trump's tax cuts did not change the upper limit for the wealthy. They remain at 39.5%. Oh, I know the left says, well, but they got a big capital gains tax cut. Folks, capital gains tax cuts is unwinding at least what you would consider to be double taxation. Capital gains is simply when you buy, say you buy a company or you buy stocks, because a lot of people trade stocks. A lot of people are benefiting from the huge stock market increase because of the Trump economy. Stock market has doubled. Yes, you heard me right. No, excuse me. It's up 10,000 points. I'm in error there. It's up 10,000 points since Trump became president. Okay. If any of you have a 401k, if any of you have a PERS pension, you can thank Donald Trump for the increases that you have received in that because of the stock market's confidence in doing away with unnecessary regulations and the corporate tax cut. When corporations have more money in their pockets, what do? Well, in a tight labor market, they give it to you, the worker, which is that wage growth phenomenon that we're seeing. But they also do what? expand their businesses. Because you see, the entrepreneur's mindset, especially small businesses, folks, your mom and pop stores, they hire people, they expand. Why? Because it's usually somebody in your neighborhood or your community that is an entrepreneur that started a business with virtually nothing. That's usually the story. And they worked hard and they continue to work hard and they grow and expand their business and they reinvest their profits. I can tell you as a farmer, as a business guy, that's what you do. Why? Because you want to make more money. This isn't rocket science. So when capital gains, when you turn around and you sell that business that you built or you sell that stock that you made a profit on, you pay what's called capital gains tax. Now, when you reduce that amount, you're still paying a tax. You're just paying less. And what do you do with it? You turn around and you either spend it, you save it, or you reinvest it. That's what happens in a booming economy. And it's exactly what's driving this incredible economy that we have today. There's a story on Drudge Report. Saturday was the single largest shopping day in American history, folks. $34.4 billion. Walmart, Amazon, Costco, and Target were the biggest, had their biggest days, folks. This is something that's tracked by customer, it's a retail research organization called Customer Growth Partners. It is stunning, and it is because of tax cuts. Tax cuts have brought in $1 trillion of U.S. money, U.S. corporate money that has been parked overseas. Why? Because the United States corporate tax rate was the highest in the developed world. The average corporate tax rate across the developed world is about 23%. We went down to that 22% margin. Now we're competitive. What did that do? It allowed American companies like Apple, like Microsoft, and a whole bunch of others to bring that money home from foreign countries at a cheaper rate. They still paying taxes on it, folks. But they came home and they put it to work, and they are putting it to work. That's the truth. So the tax cuts did not benefit, quote unquote, the wealthy, other than they continue to reinvest their money and create more jobs. That means more money in your pocket. Now, if you Google up U.S. wage growth, you're going to see varying stories on what that is and the spin on it. The leftist media will try to spin it as slow. The White House spins it as fast. The reality is that it is the highest it has been in 50 years, folks, according to the federal government's own statistics, so the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS. It's stunning. And their figures do not count all of the wage growth that you get, including benefits, which increase. We're blessed to live in this great nation. We're blessed to live during this time. Now, if we can only get the spin. Back in a moment, friends. It's 6:20 in the morning. You're listening to the Christmas Eve.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, my friends, and it is great to have you with us on the... I'm a little slow getting back in here because I was reading an email from a friend. Got an email, by the way, if you want to send one. It's jeff@1220.am, or you can join the show and give me your opinion on, well, the things we're talking about today. 503-589-1220 is the Powered Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or you can just send me an email again to Jeff at 1220.am. Regarding, homelessness, James writes me an email, and the headline is Kate Brown's Legacy. James writes, KGW had a lead story at 4 p.m. that showed the Capitol Mall and the homeless campers. From the parking strip on Commercial Northeast to Madison Square Park, and from there to do what? As one person said, squat somewhere till they're evicted and on to the next place. I have no solution to offer. Agree with the person who said it's a complex situation, but it goes back to my email regarding the extreme wastefulness of a state government that's out of touch and out of control. Thanks, Kate. Well, he wrote a subsequent email about, do I blame government for the plight of the homeless? Well, first off, I accept that there are individuals who, for one reason or another, are incapable of holding down a job. That might include those who are unwilling to work. It certainly includes those who can't find work, are unqualified, can't pass a drug test, can't pass a background test, and so on. Jeff, am I wrong in thinking that once you're at this level of existence, there's pretty frickin' hard to climb from the slippery slope back to self-sufficiency? But as I understand, government handouts only keep people homeless. If it's an issue of mental health, then why did we shut down Fairview and facilities on Center Street? Close this all down with no alternative? And now our spendthrift state government is planning to use tax scams to fund its bloated deficit budget, keep ridiculous PERS afloat, and in the end, create more homelessness. Who among the elderly and those at the poverty level are going to afford a roof over their heads with the increased tax burden? Well, fat cats on PERS won't have to worry about now, will they? No, they won't. So, James, and I want to address this because I think it's over the weekend, you're going to get, well, over this Christmas holiday, you're going to have the opportunity to talk about a lot of things with people in your circle of influence, family and friends and so forth. Homelessness is a big deal. The reason that people are homeless is indeed complex, and James has hit on some of them. A lot of it has to do with the incredible cost of taxes and housing. So many cities, because of their liberal politicians, have put in place and continue to put in place policies that raise the cost of living so high you can't afford to live there. And if you are on the margins, you can't work, even in a great economy. You can't work your way out of that cost. You have to live in your car. You may have a job, but you're living in your car. Now, there are other homeless people that are living in these tents and sleeping on sidewalks and so forth. Many of them do have mental health issues. And yes, James is right. We've closed these facilities because it was supposed to be better and kinder to these people, to put them out on the street, in the communities. No, that was another failed and will continue to be another failed liberal idea. Those facilities should remain open, need to be reopened, need to be built, because the mentally ill will always be with us. And the people on the streets aren't connected with services. There are services out there for them, including some of the drugs. I wish that people didn't have to take, but the mentally ill, yes. Drugs do help some of them. But James is right about another thing. Lars has talked about this a lot. There are a lot of these people in Oregon who have been surveyed that have drug addiction issues, which is part of why they're homeless. It is a sad thing. Those people do need help, but you remember, you can lead a horse to water, we can't make a drink, right? So people who are drug addicted, just like alcoholics, have to get to a place where they're willing to say, I got a problem and I need help. So we do need to offer them help so they can get out of it. The final thing is something that he addressed that I think is worthy of considering, is that once you get to such a low state mentally, you don't think you can climb out of it. This is where hope comes in. This is why the people in the faith community, and there's a story today about in Salem about, I think it's the First Presbyterian Church is opening up a warming shelter, right? That's a good thing. That's a church coming together. They have like 30 volunteers. That's fantastic. That's how it ought to be. But once you get into a bad state of mind like that, it's so hard to get out of it. And you need someone to encourage you and help you. Again, in a strong economy, with incredible opportunity, with 7 million unfilled jobs out there, people can have a better life, but they have to believe that they can. And when you've lost hope, you've lost it all. That leads, at least contributes, to homelessness. Each one of us can help. This is a complex issue, but some cities across the United States that are not run by bleeding heart liberals have frankly done pretty well and have put together some solutions that have worked. So that's my feelings on that and my understandings. Linda, thank you for listening, and thank you for the Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you and yours. We're going to talk to Rebecca when we come back from the bottom of the hour break here, folks. But I want to share with you the scariest thing you're going to hear, because this could be an important thing you could talk about. It is how your phone is tracking you in ways that you didn't even imagine, and how government, a deep state or a rogue presidency, like maybe we just had with Barack Obama, and that may be exposed with the William Barr and John Durham investigation, that deep state, that rogue presidency that wants to target their political opponents by using this incredible power of the surveillance state, how it could destroy your liberty and how it could be used against you individually for doing something like turning up at a Timber Unity protest, like we're going to have on February 6th. Back in a moment, it's Political Coffee. You don't want to miss this.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. It is 24 minutes to the top of the hour. It's Christmas Eve. Great to have you with us, friends. Talking about a number of things today, and we're going to go right to the phones before I get into this scary topic, which is a topic that you could use in conversations to get people thinking about how politics really impacts their life and their liberty and everything they hold dear. But before I do that, I do want to go to the phones. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Bureau GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am, and I'll do my best to read them on the air. Let's go first to Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling about, you have so many interesting topics, but the homeless topic is tied into the state paying for abortions in a way that makes it so that young people make choices that they don't even have to think about the consequences of their behavior, and so they think promiscuously. So over the years, we've had a lot of homeless people live with us, and we've also had expectant mothers live with us through when Hope Pregnancy Center first got started. We were involved with them in that way. And The five young ladies that we had with us, every single one of them was carrying her baby and was pregnant on purpose because she wanted an apartment. So the Affordable Housing Act that was just passed about 3-4 years ago, the Affordable Housing Act promised to provide housing for the homeless. That was the big thing, that they were going to make housing for the homeless. Well, I just talked to a homeless man who's living with my mother, and he said that he met a black person who had been kicked out of his house to build affordable housing structures, and that the affordable housing structures are being filled with the refugee program that Obama put in place, where there's a lot of Muslims coming in. The Muslims are being put into these new affordable housing units, according to this man who lives with my mother right now. And the affordable housing is government. I don't really understand all of how it functions, but it's government holding hands with chosen corporations that build housing, and it's all tied together. This whole thing is all tied together. The homelessness, the affordable housing, it's all being coordinated by the government.
So what's the solution?
It's driven by the government putting people in positions where they look to find their material needs met by the government.
Well, right. That's always what socialism does. So what's the solution, quickly, before I let you go?
Well, I don't know how we can get rid of the socialists, but that's one of the big things, is we have to have enough willpower to drive the socialists into either not being able to live in the United States and have political power in the United States if we want to recover, or we have to have a civil war. I don't know what we have to do, but there's some kind of a clash coming where people will wake up and recognize that they are being soaked at what I mean by that is money is being extracted from us at every day, every purchase we make. NORPAC is going out of business because I went to a hearing where it was stated that the canneries would have a terrible time if the rainwater tax was put into place. So that's part of the goal of the communists is to drive America into.
I think informed on the issues. That's an interesting tie-in, all of them, and that's worthy of consideration. Rebecca, thanks so much. Appreciate you calling, and Merry Christmas to you. Let's go to Art. Art, quickly, how are you, brother?
Oh, you're going to pull a quickie on me, Jeff? Okay, well, okay. So what I want to say is this, Jeff. The homeless problem, who does the best job of handling the homeless situation, getting people jobs? Can you take a guess, Jeff, on who handles that the best way?
Private sector and volunteers.
Well, you're close, but the Salvation Army, Jeff. I mean, they help so many people, homeless people, alcoholics, drug addicts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they're a private organization, and, you know, obviously they use God and religion to empower these individuals that they bring into their programs, and those that really want to be helped and do, you know, accept God and you know, the assistance, those are the ones that are successful. You know, and so there.
So you didn't mention, Art, are there any government programs that are successful, in your opinion, at helping homeless?
Well, Jeff, not really, because they kick the can down the road and they don't hold people responsible. They allow them to continue their bad behavior and don't really address the issues, the key issues, because these people are homeless. You take the reasons, okay, alcohol and drug abuse are obviously big contributors to the homeless. Mental health is contributing to homeless. And even, Jeff, something I recently found out, a lot of our veterans who are homeless are addicted to gambling. And that is how they ended up being homeless.
Our excellent point, and I want to address that. And I just want to say thank you, friend. Merry Christmas to you. I'm going to let
Merry
you go.
Merry Christmas, Jeff. May God bless you and your family.
Yeah, God bless you too, brother. And I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. The gambling issue, folks, is not just government gambling, the Oregon Lottery, or going into the bars playing, you know, video poker or whatever. It's also the Indian casinos, which under federal law are allowed to have them. It's like anything in life, whether it's alcohol, gambling, stock trading. You can go overboard and you can lose your money very, very quickly. Some forms are easier, and gambling is one of the easiest. And yeah, people get addicted to it. And the Oregon Lottery spends a lot of your money to try to get people unaddicted. And I didn't vote for the lottery. I didn't vote for video gaming. I don't like it because it's gambling and it destroys families, it destroys lives. But again, with liberty, with much freedom comes much responsibility. And people have to have responsibility, personal responsibility. Now, when some people aren't very good at that, and they have addictions, some people that you would think are really good and strong have these hidden addictions. Could be a lot of things, pornography. And it destroys people. And that's why we need to always be cognizant of the people around us and try to reach them and offer them hope so they don't end up homeless. They don't end up addicted, feeling like nobody cares. I got an email from Wilbur. Our liberal listener said, I can't help but wondering what the reaction of conservative talk hosts would have been if Hillary Clinton had died before the 2016 election, when she showed signs that she might be ill. Well, my reaction would have been that I would have been sad for her and her family. Because no matter what, she, even though I believe she is not a good person, I believe that she still is a mother, still a grandmother, and still sort of a wife to Bill Clinton. And frankly, it would have been a sad thing for them. So let me start this scary thing. And this ought to scare the living daylights out of you. The New York Times has something called the Privacy Project. And it's a series of articles. And what alerted me to this was Edward Snowden's tweet. Snowden is both a traitor and a patriot, in my opinion. But this story and the series of stories ought to scare you. The headline for this, it's a three-part series, and I'm going to read you the middle one. It's called 12 Million Phones, One Data Set, Zero Privacy. Every minute of every day, everywhere on the planet, dozens of companies, this is how the story starts, largely unregulated, little scrutinized, are logging the movements of tens of millions of people with mobile phones, storing the information in a gigantic data file. The Times Privacy Project obtained one such file. So far, the largest and most sensitive ever to be reviewed by journalists. The results of this are stunning, folks. And I'm going to share it with you because it is a threat to your liberty. What are we going to do? 6:48, back in a moment. You don't want to miss it.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, last segment for today. Friends, look, you know, Christmas is here, right? This is the Christmas Eve show. I got to tell you this, if you have not bought Christmas presents for somebody on your list, why don't you consider buying CBD oil or CBD cream? What a great thing you could do to benefit somebody's life. Go down to Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. They have plenty of stuff in stock, folks. It's not too late. You don't have to fight the crowds. But what a wonderful way to say you care about somebody. Do something unique. CBD oil and products from CanaShield, which is their brand. It's the highest of quality. You can be assured of that because it comes only from Oregon, all of it. What a wonderful way you could bless somebody's life over Christmas. You can learn a lot more about CanaShield and their products if you go to their website, vimsalem.com, vimsalem.com. Or if you're out and about today, you got to get that last present or two, why don't you consider swinging by Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care, right next to Safeway and South Commercial. So this story starts off with this. Every minute of every day, everywhere on the planet, okay, companies, not governments, folks, companies are tracking you. This data set that, while it was given to the Privacy Project by some people, it was leaked, okay, from companies, it holds more than 50 billion, with a B, location pings from the phones of more than 12 million Americans as they moved through several major cities, Washington, D.C., New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and others. Every piece of this information in this file represents the precise location of a single smartphone over a period of several months, 2016 and 2017. The data was provided to the Times by sources that want to remain anonymous because they were not authorized to share it and they could face severe penalties for doing it. In other words, they broke the law. The sources of the information say they had grown alarmed at how it might be abused and urgently wanted to inform the public and lawmakers. After months sifting through the data, tracking the movements of people across the country and speaking with dozens of data companies, technologists, lawyers, and academics who study this field, we feel the same sense of alarm. In the cities that the data file covers, it tracks people from nearly every neighborhood, block, whether they live in a mobile home in Virginia or luxury towers in Manhattan. One search turned up more than a dozen people visiting the Playboy Mansion, some overnight. Without much effort, we spotted visitors to the estates of Johnny Depp, Tiger Woods, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, connecting the devices' owners to the residences indefinitely. If you lived in one of the cities the data set covers and uses apps that share your location, anything from your weather app to local news apps to coupon savers, you could be in there too. If you could see the full trove, they write, you might never use your phone the same way again. And then as you scroll down, you see a video of a typical day at Grand Central Terminal in New York City. And you see these little dots flash. Those are single, identifiable to an individual smartphones. The data reviewed by Time's Opinion didn't come from a telecom or a giant tech company, nor did it come from a governmental surveillance operation. It was from a location data company, one of dozens quietly collecting precise movements using software slipped into your mobile phone apps. They can see the places you go every moment of the day, whom you meet with or spend the night with, where you pray, whether you visit a methadone clinic, a psychiatrist's office, or a massage parlor. Now, they've reported on smartphone tracking in the past. And then they get into, it doesn't take much imagination to conjure the powers such always-on surveillance can provide to an authoritarian regime like China's. Within America's own representative democracy, citizens would surely rise up in an outrage if the government attempted to mandate that every person above the age of 12 carry a tracking device that revealed their location 24 hours a day. Yet in the decades since Apple's App Store was created, Americans have, app by app, consented to just such a system run by private companies. Now as the decade ends, tens of millions of Americans, including many children, find themselves carrying spies in their pockets during the day and leaving them by their beds at night. Even the corporations that control their data are far less accountable than the government would be. Now, this goes on, and folks, what ought to scare you is that this data, you consent to it. It's in and being collected by your phone based on the apps. It's being sold. This is partly how Donald Trump's campaign manager knows that 27% of the people that show up at some of these Trump rallies are Democrats. How many are non-affiliated voters? This is all legal because you consent to it when you buy the app or you download the app for free. There's no limits to it. This is a diary of everything you do. And as the story goes, it just gets scarier and scarier and scarier. Now, right now, we're about to see, we know, those of us know that have been paying attention, that there is a deep state. This deep state has come against this president. What if this deep state is never held accountable for that? This deep state knows and can buy this information commercially already. That's what these stories are exposing. If a rogue president, like I think this operation that reaches right up into the White House to Obama, who had to know about it, decided to use information like this and other information that only the government can get, and they want to use it against another presidential candidate or president like they have, like they are probably this today. No one is safe. No one's liberty is safe. But what if they can spoof the data? What if they can say that you, because maybe you show up at a Timber Unity rally, maybe Kate Brown wants to know who those people are. Maybe they could track you. Maybe they could target you. This is something you could talk about over Christmas with people because it crosses party lines. It crosses ideological lines. This is not right. And it needs to have some sideboards. How we do that is going to be interesting. Merry Christmas to you all. Be blessed. Dr. Berger.